Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, so today we are launching our new sermon series. Who is excited about this? A couple people. I'm excited. We got so if you weren't here for the last 2 months, we've been doing the Elephant in the Room series, which was a really powerful series where we talked about topics no one wants to talk about. And I don't know about you, but that was a really powerful message because I don't know, anyone else feel we just got real? It almost gave us permission to talk about stuff that we should be talking about anyway, right? If it's in the Bible, we're going to talk about it. Little disclaimer at this church, all right? So we're not going to respond to what's going on in the world, but if it's in the Bible, we're going to respond to what God said, and it's going to apply to what's going on in the world. Amen? That's important. And so now we're going to move into a time this month where we're going to be doing the Red Letters Challenge. Everyone say red letters. Anybody know what the red letters are? And who's got a red letter Bible? If you've got a red letter Bible, hold it up if you got it in the house. All right, listen to me. If you don't have a red letter Bible, consider making an investment in a red letter Bible. Now, we are a church that celebrates the whole Bible, and if you've ever heard Pastor Tom preach, he especially loves to connect the Old Testament with the New Testament in beautiful, powerful ways. So don't hear me when I say we're just going to focus on the red letters that we're disregarding the rest of it, but we are, for the next month or two, going to focus especially on the words of Jesus. Amen? And so if you don't have a red letter Bible, you might want to look one up, but we're also going to be doing some very intentional Bible studies. But I did not have time to put that together before this morning. So we will be probably launching that next week. And if you've got a phone, we'll be using our phones for those Bible studies. So who likes a good challenge? Who is very competitive? Come on, let's just be honest. Who is more competitive? Come on, who's the most competitive? Come on. All right. I like to tell this story. My husband is so competitive. Now, he's less competitive now, and he's not in the room, so I'll be very honoring in how I say this, because I only honor him. But let's just say we were playing a game of Sorry once, and some of us got a little bit traumatized by some of the reactions when I won. All right. I never win, though, so I mean, I was in heaven, but some of us were not in heaven with me. So during this sermon series, we're actually going to be doing weekly challenges, all right? Now, I looked at doing daily challenges, and then I thought, how many know your days are sometimes challenging enough? So we're going to do a weekly challenge, all right? But I really want to encourage you to do this, all right? This message series is not a come to church on Sunday kind of message series. This is a Monday through Friday message series. Get the challenge Sunday, get encouraged, and get revelation from Jesus to go back out and do it, all right? So please, 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 for real, come on Sundays and come consistently if you can this month. And we'll probably go a little bit into October on this too, because we're going to be doing very specific challenges. It might be to go to the hospital and visit someone or call a friend who's sick and pray for them. It might be to share your testimony, or maybe it's just to write down your testimony. Don't worry, we're never going to make anyone do these challenges. They're just invitations to grow, and thrive means to grow. So at Thrive, we grow, right? Some of them might be to take an inventory of your heart and say, hey, do I need to forgive somebody? And God, show me how to do that, or help me, give me the courage to forgive someone. Sometimes it might be to literally throw a party and have someone over or meet someone for coffee. How many know Jesus ate breakfast, right? That's my husband's favorite Bible verse. Anybody know that one? Right? Hannah and Will actually gave him a shirt for his birthday that said, come and eat breakfast with me. That's Jesus' invitation to my husband. So let's see. I need my book here. Now, if I were to say, actually, you know what? I don't want to use this book for this. But if I were to say, I have a book of curses here, and I'm going to open it up, and we're going to read from the book of curses. How many would get a little uncomfortable? Anybody get a little uncomfortable? All right. If you didn't get a little uncomfortable, I'm going to make you uncomfortable on that one, right? But how many times, and some of you have heard me say this before, but how many times have we opened up this Bible in this church and not realize it is a book of God's guidance and his blessing, and it is so much more powerful than a book of curses. And yet, sometimes it doesn't make us uncomfortable because we just kind of numb ourselves and just open it up and tune out. Anybody been there? I've been there. And so this message series is all about the red letters of Jesus. It's about letting God's word wake up our hearts to be aware of how we are called to live, how we are called to think, how we are called to interact. And I don't want anybody going to sleep to Jesus's words, right? Jesus didn't come all the way to earth and speak words that shattered darkness for 2,000 years for us to just look up a Bible verse on Twitter and get a motivational moment for the day. Anybody? Right? Hey, I love those daily motivational Bible verses. If that's where you're at, I love those. But how many know that Jesus didn't die for you to have access to that only? Right? He did it so we would have a practical, relevant, supernatural instruction manual for every storm, every situation, and every blessing and curse we encounter. Amen? His words are, I'm just going to read this. His words are revolutionary, darkness shattering, freeing and empowering, loving and healing. His words fill hearts with hope and courage even thousands of years later. His words impact every single culture and nation, young and old, kings and orphans and beggars. Isn't that incredible? When you read the words in that Bible and you read them to yourself, those words are the same words that inspired martyrs. They inspired the rich to give up everything. They inspired the poor to find a better life in God. Isn't that incredible? Does that make you excited? If nothing else, just think somebody famous in my history book read the same word I'm reading. What could I get out of it? Isn't that incredible? These aren't dead words. These are the red letters of our Savior. How many know how you see Jesus will determine how you receive his word? Right? Let me put it this way, and no, I am not getting political, but how many know if you like someone in the political party, then you hear their words and you're inspired. And if you don't like somebody, you are not inspired and you might get a little angry. Anybody been there, right? And I'm not making any comments on anybody, just pray for everybody. Honestly, if you're not, that's the news flash from this church. Just pray for everybody, right? Because we all need them in our government. But how you think about someone will determine how you receive them, or even if you can receive them, right? And so I love this. This is the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. If you have your Bible, you can open that up. Luke 15, verse 21. As you're going there, just to confuse you, I'm going to read another verse while you're going there. What is the word of God, or who is the word of God? In John 1, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the word. He is the living word. And I just wanted to read a few descriptions that are specifically, most of these are actually specifically found in the book of Revelation, which I'm doing a Bible study with Shana on. Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades. He is our shepherd. His hair is white as wool. So if anyone asks why your hair is graying, just reply WWJD, right? He is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. He is slow to anger. His word is abounding in love and faithfulness. His word is merciful. His word is just. His word is shared with the least of society and the most influential. And his voice sounds like a trumpet and cascading waters. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes we just need to remember who the word of God is. So if you made it to Luke 15 and didn't get too distracted, we're going to read in verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But everyone say, but the Father. said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Every word that Jesus says is a but the Father said moment. How many have gone to God saying, you know, I have sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy. Anyone had a I am no longer worthy moment? If you haven't, you will. Just get ready. It's coming. But every word that Jesus says is a but the Father said. Can you just say that? But the Father said. I would love to put that on a plaque in my kitchen, because how many know sometimes some of the words we say are the opposite of a but the Father said moment, right? When your friend or your coworker or your boss, your kids, your spouse, whatever you've got going on in your world comes to you, we have a choice to either do a but the Father said or do an older brother said, right? That's not my sermon today, but it's a good moment. And sometimes we think that Jesus sounds like an older brother, but when Jesus actually sounds like the Father. So can we just say it one more time, but the Father said. If you are trying to figure out if you are hearing God's voice, just filter it through the but the Father said, right? And then you might get some clarity and discernment. James 1 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Everyone just say, do what it says. I love this. This was powerful. So if you've read anything about the end times, and I'm not going into an end times message, but how many know that if 2,000 years ago they were in the end times, we are certainly in the end times now, right? I don't know where we are in the timeline, but Jesus is coming sooner today than he was yesterday, and that's the theology there. So it says, Jesus says, he even says it up to four times in one little section, that at the end times, many will be deceived. Has anyone read that, right? Many will be deceived. And who's read that and been like, oh, you know, that person fell. I guess they're deceived. Anyone pointed a finger and been like, oh, they look like they're getting deceived, right? It's really easy to look at someone else and be like, oh, they're deceived, right? That's a dangerous place to be, but I've done it too sometimes. But in this James chapter, it kind of sheds a new light on what that means, because it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Deception is also reading the word of God and not putting it into practice. So in the end times, there will be many that will read the red letters and do nothing with them. And somehow that brings it home. Anyone feel that bring it home a little bit? But how could we think that we can do life without the red letters of Jesus? And when we actually don't read the red letters and put them into practice, it's actually almost like a form of pride, because we say, no, no, my finances are fine without Jesus's influence. No, no, my marriage does not need the word of God applied to it. My future, it doesn't need Jesus's hope. And we might not think that, but when we don't actually read the words of Jesus and put them into practice, that's exactly what we're telling God. So I'm not trying to get heavy here this morning, but I hope that we can get some conviction, to get some motivation, to get into the Bible this month like never before and actually put some application into our lives. Amen? Jesus shared over 300 questions. How many know if the way, the truth, and the life walked in the room, you would have 300 questions? But somehow Jesus decided that when he came to earth, he was going to ask 300 questions. Isn't that cool? So if you think you have all the right answers, maybe it's time to start asking some questions. He told over 30 parables. I was trying to think of a story to tell this morning with this message, but I'm a little bit jet-lagged, so I couldn't quite think of one. But if you hear stories being told on a Sunday morning, like testimonies, like the testimonies we heard, they're like parables, and that's very biblical. So I want to just end here. I only got through half my message, so we're going to share some of it for next week, so don't miss out. But I'm going to read our theme verse for this month and for this series. Luke 8:31. So he said to the Jews, this is Jesus speaking, who had believed him, "If you read my word once a week, you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Anybody? I always get the wrong Bible. I need to go to the Bible store here. So he said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you read my word but do nothing with it, you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." No? All right, let's try one last time. So he said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That word continue means abide, endure, live, remain, stay, and wait. Next week, we're going to get into that, and we're going to get very practical, and we're going to look at each one of those words, which happen to spell seal, because Jesus has put a seal on our heart with his spirit. But we walk that out by getting in the word, all right? So next week, we'll get a little bit more in depth. If you want to stand on your feet, I just want to end with this idea. Who's a guy in the room that likes to cook? Anybody? All right, I'm calling the next woman's night. Catered. So when I got married, thankfully, my husband also likes to cook, which we are both very grateful for. And so if I get home, I just want to give context because I also do cook. I just want to put that out there, so please don't hear the wrong message in this story. But if I get home and I'm really tired and I'm like, "Hey, Brian, I need you to cook dinner later today because I got to be at church all day. So if you could just cook dinner, that'd be great." And he's like, "Okay." And then I get home later and he's like, "Well, I looked at all these recipes. Look at all the recipes I looked at." And that's all he's done. I'm like, "I don't really care if you didn't choose one, right?" Or how about if he's like, "Hey, I had Ray, I had Pedro, and I had Damon over, and we actually had a little small group, and we looked at all the ingredients in the fridge. We talked about all the different options, the different flavors that we could make. Aren't you proud of me?" No, I'm not proud of you, right? Especially if Pedro didn't do the cooking, because he's a very good cook. I've eaten some of his food, right? No, I'm not proud of you. Why? Because all he did was research. He kind of talked about it. He maybe even explored it a little bit. And then at the end of the day, he was what? He was hungry. At least I was. I was hangry, right? And so during this time, I want us to keep in mind during this red letter challenge, the world around us is hangry. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? We got some hanger issues. Your life, the people in your life, in your circle, they're hangry. And if all the church does is talk about the words of Jesus, if all they do is research it, if all they do is make a little group, kind of ponder all the cool things that one could do with the words of God, but they never actually serve the feast to the hungry world around them, we have a serious crisis, and we have a serious crisis right now. And our church will not live in that crisis. We won't take part in that. Because there are hungry people around us. There are hangry people in your circle. And they need the word of Jesus. They need the bread of life served to them daily. You need the bread of life served to you daily. Let's just start here and then we'll work our way out. So this week, my challenge to you, and we're going to get even more practical in the challenges, but today, just to start us off, if you are not reading your Bible, do you know that 90% of people, let me get this statistic right, I don't want to read it wrong, and I know you're standing, but so am I, so, sorry. 90% of churchgoers desire to honor God, but only 19% in this study said they personally read the Bible every day. And there's even like a lower statistic for other things that are we're supposed to do out of the Bible. We won't go there right now, right? So that means that only 19% of the church, if you kind of blow that survey up, which, you know, maybe you couldn't do exactly, but only 19% are serving food to the hungry people around them. And Jesus didn't die just so that 90% could respond to his spirit daily. He died for 100%, right? He also died for the one, right? Leave the 99 out of the 100%. I get it. But the point is, we have a call on our church. And if you're here today, then you're part of it, to serve a feast to those around you. So my challenge to you is to set a timer on your phone. And you ask Jesus, what does that time look like for me this week? Listen, if you're spending an hour with him every day already, maybe add a couple minutes on. If you're spending no time with him, maybe start with 5. Maybe start with 15. I love a 1-minute timer in silence just to think about Jesus and be with him. But whatever it looks like for you, set a timer on your phone, or if you're a different kind of personality, don't set the timer, I don't care. But get in the Word of God every day. And if you're looking for a place to start, start with the story of the prodigal son and start by putting your name in that story, in the different places of the story. You can write out the prodigal son story, put your name in there, and then meditate on that daily. And as we're doing these challenges this month, on Sundays, we're going to make room for testimonies, because we don't want to just do the challenges and then not talk about it, all right? So what Jesus shows you during these challenges will make some room every week to share a testimony from it, all right? So get into the Word, set the timer, don't set the timer, but get into the prodigal son story, put your name in there, meditate on that. And if you've done that 1,000 times, ask Holy Spirit for some fresh revelation. All right? So Jesus, we just thank you that you are the living Word. God, we thank you that you are the one that stays with us so we can stay with you. God, we thank you that you are the one that applies your mercy and your love to our life every day. So help us this week to apply your mercy and your life to those around us. God, we thank you that you are the one that endured the cross. And we thank you that every challenge we face this week, God, you are going to help us endure. God, we thank you that we can rest in your life. And this week, God, we thank you that we can be life to those around us. So God, we just come to you and we choose to live our life out of your red letters. No other words. Your blood speaks a better word in those red letters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.